What if I told you that you can support your blood pressure and healthy CoQ10 levels with two chews a day? The new Super Beats Heart Chews Advanced is now supercharged with CoQ10. That's like getting CoQ10 for free. Our powerful blend of beetroot, grapeseed extract, and CoQ10 supports your cardiovascular health. Visit RadioBeats.com and find out how you can get a free 30-day supply on bundles and save 15% with the promo code DEAL.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Hello and welcome to the second episode of Home is Where the Hallmark Is. You're listening to us on Chairshot Radio, which you can find at thechairshot.com. I'm Liz Puglisi and I'm joined with Amber Teasley. And today we're going to go over a few things, but our main discussion is we're going to start reviewing Chesapeake Shores from the very beginning. How are you doing tonight, Amber?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Nice warm weather up here. So I'm sitting in front of a fan. So if you hear the feedback, it's my fan, but I'm not turning it off.
It's getting a little, it was cool for a couple of days and now it's getting a little warmer, but it's not supposed to get over like 85 for the next week or so. I'm ready for the fall weather.
I'm ready for the fall weather and I'm ready for fall fest.
Oh yeah. Fall harvest all the way here.
I keep calling it a good fall fest. I don't know.
But I want to go over our first set of Fall Fest movies for this weekend because it starts Saturday.
So exciting.
I know, it is very exciting. It looks like Saturday, September 11th at 9 p.m. on the regular Hallmark Channel is Roadhouse Romance. The synopsis on that is the country music fan Callie, who returns home from military tour, is determined to continue her late grandfather's legacy while TV director Luke is in town, and he teaches her that sometimes it's best to look forward instead of back. It looks like we've got a newcomer actress on this one starring. It's Lauren Elena, who plays Callie, and then we have our Tyler Haynes, who plays Luke, which, you know, he's been in a lot. I think this is his 10th movie with Hallmark. And I know he's one of your favorites.
He's definitely my favorite, and he's definitely a fan favorite. His fan base just continues to grow and grow. He's very popular on social media. His fans are pretty hardcore, pretty wild. yeah, no, I've enjoyed all of his, though. I think he's kind of natural at it. He seems to have good chemistry with the majority of his co-stars. I really enjoyed The Mistletoe Secret.
Oh yeah, I remember that one last year.
That was a good one. And of course It's Christmas Eve.
Yes, that was probably one of my favorites. It's Christmas Eve. Of course I love Leanne Rimes. I've always been a huge fan of hers, so I really enjoyed that movie. He was really good in that movie as well.
Yeah. Definitely one of my favorites. I thought she was amazing in it.
I think she's amazing in everything, but that's just me. And then I was just going over some things because I didn't really know who she was. I hadn't really heard a whole lot about her. And she's from Georgia, and she was a runner-up in the 10th season of American Idol, which I thought was pretty cool. She's done a lot of songs and singing with other famous people, like, I think, like, oh, I can't remember who it was. Let me see if I can. She was with Matina McBride, Blake Shelton, Alan Jackson, Carrie Underwood, Luke Bryan. She's done stuff with all of those people. So she's done quite a bit of country music. And then he is actually, I didn't know that he actually has directed and produced and written, and he's actually a musician too as well, and he's from Canada.
He actually, Tyler actually started in the Canadian type version of Broadway, so he sings as well. So I'm curious to see if he'll sing in this one. I don't think he sang in any of the other ones, other than maybe some, you know, holiday humming, you know, while they're decorating like they do. But yeah, he actually starred in the musical version of, ironically, The Christmas Carol in Canada. That's how he got his start.
Okay. Yeah, and he was in Unreal. I didn't even remember that. I watched that show for a long time. It was on one of the cable channels, and it was about a reality TV show. It was kind of like a showing behind the scenes of like The Bachelorette or The Bachelor. Oh. And he was in that, and I didn't know that. I watched every season of that show.
He's been in a lot of shows that I heard of, but I never watched The Firm, Warehouse 13, Saving Hope. So he has kept busy his whole career, and now we're lucky enough to have him with us on Hallmark. But the funny thing is, the Letter Kenny show, that's as far from Hallmark as you can get. So it's filthy. It's so crazy. This show, Jason would probably like it. It's insane. It's a very strange, strange show.
What was it called?
Letter Kenny. It's a Canadian show.
Never heard of it. Yeah. I'll have to look it up.
I think it's like on FX or something. If you're a Tyler Hines fan, definitely check it out. So, okay, before we make this the Tyler Hines episode, which we'll probably have one, Sunday brings us our second movie in the Fall Harvest. And if I keep calling it Fall Fest, I apologize. For some reason, that's stuck in my head, which is Sunday the 12th at 9 p.m., and that's on Hallmark Movies and Mysteries. Which I really love the ones on Hallmark Movies and Mysteries. Don't get me wrong, the ones on Hallmark Channel itself are fab. But the ones on Hallmark Movies and Mysteries tends to have a little bit more meat to them, a little bit more, drama, basically.
Yeah, I would definitely agree.
Yeah, so Redemption in Cherry Springs brings us, after fallout from a story reporter, Melanie goes home to Cherry Springs for a break. That sounds very familiar, but that's okay. When a friend disappears, she uses her skills to get the truth to the local detective's dismay. I'm down for this. I am a big cozy mystery reader, and cozy mysteries are basically like light. They're basically Hallmark movies, but like in mystery form. They're very light. They're easy reading. The heroine is usually some female who has nothing to do with detecting anything. It's usually a baker or something. And she loves solving mysteries, and she's always dating the cop. So I'm down for this completely. So it stars Rochelle Eitz, I cannot say her last name, so I apologize, as Melanie, and Keith Robinson as Jake, and Frankie Faison as Joe. Rochelle is from New York City, so she's a hometown girl. And she's very well known for April and Mistresses, but if you're a Criminal Minds fan, she was Savannah. She is the one that stole Shamar Moore for us when they got married and left the show. This is her second Hallmark movie, which her first one was A Christmas Tree Grows in Colorado.
I remember watching that one. Was that last year?
That was 2020. Yes, it was.
I like that one a lot.
That one was really good. I remember originally thinking that's a weird title, but that one was really, really good. And that one threw me for a loop. I remember watching it. I didn't see it when it was first on. I saw it, you know, in one of its replays. And it tricked me because I thought the first guy was the guy that was going to be like the lead. And I'm like, and don't get me wrong, he was great. But I'm like, okay, this isn't your typical Hallmark guy. But then the other guy came, you know, came in.
Yeah.
That was a really cute one. I really liked that one. That one was really well done.
So this is her second one.
Yeah, this is her second one. And he's been in, I lost my page, hold on. He's been in, it's his first leading role for Hallmark. He's most famous probably for being known as C.C. White in Dreamgirls, but this is his first Hallmark film, but his third appearance. Have you seen any of the ones that he was in? Oh, actually,
Actually, I don't think they aired actually yet. He's actually going to be, oh no, maybe he was. There's a Christmas love story.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah. I'm trying to pull up the list here. Looks like he was supporting in The Reading Room, which I've never seen that one.
You know what Hallmark movie he was in? I apologize because some of these they have very similar titles, which we're gonna dedicate a whole podcast to. He was in the one with Kristen Chenoweth and
yes.
Scott
Wolf.
Which I really, really enjoyed, but also was like, you have to be kidding me with that twist where he adopted the son she gave up. Like, okay. That was a really, really good one. That was a really good one. And the other one was, I believe...
Scott Wolf, I loved him.
Oh, yeah, I love Scott Wolf. I'd love to see him more of them, you know.
It looks like he's going to be playing in the... the Ashley and Kimberly Williams, the one and the two, because there's a Sister Swap, a hometown holiday, and Sister Swap, Christmas in the City. Those are all new this year, and Kimberly Williams and Ashley Williams are both in there, and so is Keith Robinson. He's going to play in them as well.
Yes. On IMDb, they're listed as Christmas at the Madison Part 1 and 2, so it'll be interesting to see what title they end up as. So
yeah,
I'm looking forward to seeing both of them. They both sound really good. I wish Lauren a lot of luck. She's adorable, so I can't wait to see how that one.
Yeah, out of the two, I'm probably most out of the two movies they're playing this Saturday and Sunday, I'm most interested in that Redemption and Cherry Springs. I think it's going to be really interesting. My first, I think, I haven't really watched a whole lot of the regular movies on the Hallmark Movies and Mysteries. I've usually watched just the Christmas ones. Mm. But this will probably be one of the first two or three I've watched that aren't Christmas.
Sorry, yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt. Yeah, they have some great ones on there. They have a lot of good stuff. As much as, you know, I'm looking forward to Roadhouse Redemption. I still can't laugh without...
Roadhouse Romance. Like, I'm still expecting, like, Patrick Swayze to come back from, like, you know.
I keep getting all my words wrong tonight. I apologize. I'm going to blame it on my bad tooth and the medication I'm taking. But I'm definitely looking forward to Redemption in Cherry Springs. It's also a stellar cast. And the storyline's a little bit different, a little bit more meat to its bones. So that'll give us something, too.
Yeah, I think so.
Really dig into.
Okay, and then we're going to talk about some, we're going to do a couple of top 10s, I think, for next week. And I think, Liz, you were going to discuss how we're going to get that information for those top 10s.
So, yeah, so we're going to be starting, so through advice for a couple of people that have listened, and thank everybody who has listened, and for all the feedback. Even though some of you are very close to us and probably lying and being like, oh, yous are great. We know we weren't great, but we're just having some laughs together. So I'm going to be starting an Instagram just for the podcast. Probably be abbreviated because at home is where Hallmark is a little long. I know on the logo there's a the. I have to get that taken care of, but that's not the end of the world. So I'm going to be posting now. I'm going to be trying hashtagging and, you know, adding, you know, at the actors and actresses and the different Hallmark hashtags to try to generate some feedback. I'm going to be putting up asking, you know, who's everybody's favorite actress, you know, to rank their favorite actresses. And I'm going to try to keep track best I can of those that have mentioned the most actors and actresses. And next week we're going to give you the first top 10 actors and actresses from the movie. And this, even though we feel like we see the same people over and over quite a bit, there's really so many of them, you know?
Yeah, there really is. There really honestly is.
When Amber ranks hers 1 to 5, is going to be Chad Michael Murray. That's okay. So
You know, I can't help it. I'm a One Tree Hill girl. I grew up with that. I just love it.
There's so many. So it'll be interesting. I already got some interesting feedback on my Facebook post and a couple on Twitter. So we'll see what they come up with, and you know, we'll add in hours and we'll discuss their best movies, what we like about them, who on the list we wouldn't pick. You never know. It should be fun. So if you see it, make sure you answer. So if you listen to this, comment below where you're listening and tell who are your favorites.
Alright, then that brings us to what this whole show is about. This first season of Chesapeake Shores. What did you think, Liz?
I loved Cedar Cove, right? Loved it. They took that from us, right? Loved it. I loved When Calls the Heart from the very beginning until about 2 seasons ago. That's a whole other conversation because I feel it's still really, really good, and I adore everybody that's on it. I just feel like they changed the tone of the show, and it just became a whole love triangle and so much drama. I think it kind of got away a little bit of what it initially was about, and of course shows have to grow and change, you know, to stay interested, but I just think, for me, this is just my opinion, for me it went off the path a little bit. It's still an amazing show. I just don't watch it as religiously as I did before. So we're starting from the beginning, and it's now in season 5. So
right.
I went into this saying, I'm not going to fall in love with it. I know it's still going on, right? I know it's probably going to have a season 6. But knowing, as we do, that Jesse Metcalf leaves, right? So I was like, I'm emotionally invested in this storyline. So normally, spoilers don't bother me, right? I could care less about spoilers, or couldn't care less, whatever the saying is, feel free to correct me. I can read about a movie, I read about a TV show, then go watch it. Even if I know what's going to happen, I don't care. It's still going to affect me. I'm still going to be into it. It doesn't bother me at all. I've tried to go into this one not knowing anything, right?
Right.
And I mostly accomplished that. There was a couple of things I had to like go back and check. So a couple of little things here and there were spoiled. I mean, obviously I know Jesse leaves, you know, so there's no happily ever after for them. And so for the most part, I went in blind, which was good, which was refreshing. I just have very strong feelings about some of them. I don't know if I like set myself up for failure. Don't get me wrong, I love the show and I can't wait to see the rest of the season. But I don't know if I was like, okay, I'm not going to love it. I'm not going to let myself love it. So like, I'm really like, oh, I like a little more attached to it than maybe I normally would have been. And it's a really great show. I love Treat Williams. I love him. I think he's great. I think every character is really good. I just think some of them, and it's a personal thing. You know, it's a personal thing.
Yeah, some of them I struggle with a little bit. Because you've got of the O'Brien family, you have Abby, played by Megan Ory,
right?
Treat Williams, who's Mick, the father, and you have Diane Ladd, who's grandma, and then you've got Jess, which I think she's the youngest. I was going to talk to you about that. I think she's the youngest, and then it's Connor.
That's Connor.
And then Kevin. Well, maybe Emily or Bree. I'm sorry. Bree and Kevin. I'm not sure which one of them is older. And then I think those Abby two, might be the oldest.
Abby's definitely the oldest. Bree and Kevin, I'm a little confused who's next. But then it's definitely Connor and Jessica. There was, you have to cast it, because that's one of the things I had to go back and check. Because Jess says that they were all older when the parents divorced.
Yeah, she was kind of the one that got left.
Right.
Left there. And I think that's a lot of the reasons why she's so unsure of herself.
She's the one I had the biggest issue with, because
I have an issue with her and Bree. Like, and it's not really that I have an issue with them. It's just I have a hard time. I don't necessarily unlike them, but I just, Jess kind of gets on my nerves, which is kind of funny because she's my husband's favorite character, and he loves the actress. He thinks she's beautiful. I have real hard trouble liking her and Brie.
He has my take on the two of them, or how I feel about them, and then, you know, you tell me, you know, yours. We'll see what's the same and what's different. For the character of Jess, I guess, I don't know how old she's supposed to be. But I know they mentioned the mother, their parents are married when the mother was 19 and the father was 23, so that's pretty young. And Abby is now supposed to be the same age as when the mother had 5 kids, 12 and under, or something like that. So for me, for Jess, I mean, there's billions, I shouldn't say billions, but there's millions of people who come from divorced families. My parents, you know, were divorced. And I know it's not the same for everybody, but it's like, for me, it's like, okay, I'm from a divorced family, you know, like there's no, and the situation's obviously extremely different, but I didn't grow up with my father. And that's not to say, you know, anything negative, you know,
right,
at all. I'm friends with my sister. We speak on, you know, Twitter quite often, but mostly, especially about Hallmark. But it just, the character of Jess just comes off like so stereotypical for TV, like so angsty and like doesn't want to grow up, doesn't want to, not, she has no responsibility. And it looks, she obviously doesn't have any responsibility in her parents breaking up, but she doesn't want to take any responsibility that she's not trying either. You know, like,
right.
I just want to keep shouting out, grow up, you know, like grow up. And this isn't just like, okay, my parents are divorced, this is how like my family handled it. It's not that, it's just that the character was so grated on my nerves because she was so, you know, childish. And I get it, I'm not knocking anybody who comes from a divorced family, every family is completely different, but for me, the character of Jess was just so stereotypical of like a bratty child who just didn't want to let anything go, or, you know, try at all. And that's common in real life too, but it also, it wasn't just with the mother, like the father, he's trying to, like he wants to help her, no. And it wasn't like, no, you know, I really want to do this on my own, blah, blah. It was just like rude and nasty. And it just like, I just felt like it was like overdone, you know, like every conversation with her was like that. So that was like, okay, it got old like really quickly. And then as for Brie, I mean, this is going to sound weird because every family has their, you know, black sheep or outcast. And I'm not saying that Brie's a black sheep, but I just felt like, at least initially, like, she didn't, her and Connor, you know, they didn't like, because they were blonde, she didn't fit with the family, you know?
Yeah, I have trouble. And I have trouble with her. She's not like the other ones. And I just kind of, maybe it's the California writer, or the, you know, maybe it's slightly different because, you know.
And I mean, every sibling's different. My brother, my elder sister, you know, we're all different, you know, but we're all also quite a bit alike, you know. And I don't know, she just didn't, you know, it seemed like her and Connor were always the odd ones out, but I just feel like she didn't, at least the first few episodes, didn't really gel. You know, she was very much lost. I get that. I totally understand that. I don't know, I just, those two I had the biggest issue with, just because the character was just written like such a spoiled brat. And Brie, I think they took so long getting to what her issue was, or really delving into her background of like, okay, what's bothering her, because it's breaking out now. We've had basically 3 episodes like for the pilot, like tell us what's going on, that you couldn't warm up to her.
No, yeah, I agree, because you just kind of, it's almost like you had trouble connecting with her character. Like, you know, they're just kind of, and they didn't really even, I don't think they really gave her a very good storyline, other than like, you know, the other ones have a little bit deeper, you know, you've got Kevin who's in the military, you know, and Abby who's going through so much, and then you've got Connor who's, you know, really get into the lawyer thing, and she just kind of, her storyline just wasn't, I didn't really think she had enough until you got towards the end of the first season and you found out about her boyfriend cheating on her. And mostly it was, she was just a writer who couldn't write. She was struggling writing. I think she was a playwright, and then she decided she wanted to be an actual book author. Mm-hmm. And I think that was her primary storyline for like almost half this, you know, over half the season.
I think too, they had so many scenes where it was like, well, what is she doing? Or like when she was doing the yoga, like in the early episodes, like, what is she doing? I have no idea what she's doing. Like, if the family can't connect with her, we can't connect with her.
Right.
It's like, I know she was all living off in Chicago and this, that, and the thing, but they were all, you know, scattered, or I think it was Chicago. Anyway, it's just like they made it hard to connect with her. I like the character. I like the actress a lot. But those two were, it took a while. It took a while. I'm much more on Bree's side now. But yeah. Jess, I don't know. I can't in my accent. I cannot.
Jess is definitely the core definition of the baby mm-hmm. in the family. I don't know. I'm an only child, so I've got it all.
Of us three, I'm the baby. If I'm like that, somebody slap me. if you're listening to this and you've watched the show and you think I'm like Jess, next time you see me, slap me. Just tell me this is because you're like Jess, and I won't say anything. I hope. Yeah, I mean, she's just so bratty. She really is. And I get it. She has a lot going on. She's trying to stand on her own two feet. But, like, you can do that and not be a jerk. You know, but it's a TV yeah. show.
I think out of all of the children, she's probably the hardest on the mom. Which I can see being, you know, angry with the mom. But it seems like all the other ones have kind of... Maybe it's because, you know, Jess and Connor were the younger ones when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's why they... You know, Connor didn't seem to have as much trouble with the mom. He did at first.
Right.
For her coming back. But then later on in the season, he got a little bit more, you know, regretful in things he was saying
mm-hmm.
to her. But I just felt like Jess, she's just, she wasn't going to let it go.
she took it to another level. And it's like, it was a little confusing too. It's like, okay. They're adults. Did they never see her until like she popped up? It took me a few minutes. And that's one thing I had to go look up. I was a little confused. Like, did they never see her? Like, I know Abby saw her because she was, you know. But yeah, so that was I found was a little confusing. Like, did they see her or did they never see her and she just popped back up now? If she just popped back up now, I totally get that much hostility. And listen, like I said, everybody's different. Every family's different. There's probably a ton of reasons to have hostility. I'm not just trying to base this on being, you know,
yeah,
coming from a divorce family. I just think it's like it was overdone for one character. Like, spread it out a little bit, you know. And it wasn't just with the mother; it was with everything. Anybody who tried to help her, you know, she was hostile. And even when we found out about the this is gonna sound horrible. This is gonna sound truly horrible. Even when we found out about her nightmares and everything,
the boat crash,
I didn't care. I'm so sorry, people, but I didn't care because I didn't care for the character. Like, I thought, oh, that explains a few things. That's why she's maybe, you know, she's not sleeping well. She needs therapy. She has PTSD. Not knocking PTSD at all. Absolutely horrific. But they made the character, to me, so unlikable before that. I didn't care.
And I feel like they kind of threw that in there because they were trying to make her more... Give her more of a connection with the older, you know, Kevin. Mm-hmm. I think that's the reason why they did that.
Yeah.
Another character I did not like, which is not on here, and I do not have her name. I do know her name was Georgia. That's Kevin's fiance.
Wait. I have to beg a favor before we get to Georgia. Can we discuss Lee for a minute? Lay, however you want to say her name. Trace's
Musical. Oh yeah. The country his country singer band member. I can't remember what she plays.
So let me just say this. She's a great character, actually. I actually connected more with her than I did with, you know, we did with Jess. But I shouldn't laugh. I'm no model. Right now, if you could see me, you'd be like, yeah, scary. Why do you have the video on? Turn it off. So, you know, by far, I'm no model, but I don't know what look they were going for with her. When she first popped up, when he went back and he was looking for Axel and she comes out and you see her, at least I, you know, that's when I saw her for the first time, when she comes down the stairs or whatever, I was like, what look are they going for here with the not really kind of this hard rock country, you know, look.
Yeah.
With the almost, they wanted it to be a little bit like,
I think edgy is what they were going for.
Edgy, that's the word.
And I guess maybe it was the edginess that Hallmark kind of felt like they could go without going too far.
The hair was ridiculous.
Was kind of a combo between like
dreads and wigs.
Dreads, which dreads are totally, you know, they're cool, but like didn't do them very well on her.
It was dreads and beach waves. It had that thickness and that that texture, you know, that you'd associate with dreads, right? And there's many, many, many millions of people out there with gorgeous dreads. They really are. And some of them are tight, some of them are, you know, a bit looser. I have zero knowledge of dreads. I'm just going based on what I've seen on people. So they kind of wanted that like edgy, you know, funky, you know, look for her. But then they turned them into beach waves. And she came, I liked the character, but she came off as like this, the look, it was like something out of like the CW that I see on like Gossip Girl or something, where like this spoiled rich girl was just trying to get a rise out of her parents and was pushing her look as far as she could. I literally, again, I'm no model, but I was like, what? I don't understand. I don't know if it was a wig she was wearing, because Hallmark has a history of like horrible, horrible wigs. When Calls the Heart, when it was Erin Krakow had to wear a wig, it was awful. It was awful. With all their money, they should be able to, and I said this last week too, they should be able to afford better wigs. I didn't mind her her character. I don't know if she pops up more throughout the seasons or whatever. But I didn't mean to take you off course from Georgia.
Oh, no. But I kind of, there's so many characters. I kind of like, she kind of got lost there for a minute for me.
I mean, we haven't even mentioned Trace.
No, and he's, I love him, and Megan Ori, because I've been a fan of her since she was Ruby on Once Upon a Time.
Right.
And Jess Metcalf, I just totally ruined his name there. Jess Metcalf. He was in one of my favorite movies, which is John Tucker Must Die. I love that movie. He also played on Passions for years, and I loved him on there too. So, yeah, we haven't even mentioned them, have we?
Let's do Georgia and Kana, and then we'll get to the bulk of the
storylines.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was cause her just showing up, but I did not like her at all. Really, I felt like she was very bossy, and maybe that came from being maybe a lieutenant in the military. I think they said she was, and she was kind of very I guess she was trying to take care of her, you know, fiance. She was very dismissive of everybody else's feelings of what happened to Kevin.
Right.
Like, I felt like she was like a machine, almost like.
Well, I think they didn't want us to like her. You know, there's quite often the characters are written that they don't want us to, you know, like them. You could definitely chalk it up to her military life and such, and probably the fact that she really didn't want to be in that town. And now, was she on the defensive because now she's faced with his whole family, who of course is going to think they know better for him than she does. She was a hard character to like, but I think they didn't want us to like her because she wasn't going to be around.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I don't even know if she's even in the second season. Because
I didn't read about the season because I'm trying to go in blind.
Yeah. But you kind of don't see her after she leaves for Daytona. So I'm not sure what happens. I guess we'll find out.
I kind of got the impression with the dialogue that comes later on with Kevin and Connor that, you know, they loved each other, but maybe it was a relationship of convenience. They were lonely. They did have feelings for each other. And he thought he would be staying in the military and whatnot, and obviously made the choice even before he was injured.
to leave it. So, you know, there's a few things there that just set it up for her to clash. But I don't think the family really gave her a chance either. They, you know, they had like these moments where it made it seem like they were. They had these conversations with her because she was always getting annoyed and storming off. She probably only did that once, but she was an interesting character. But like I said, I think she was just designed for us not to get attached.
I think so too. I do. Okay, was there any other characters you wanted to discuss before we go into the storylines?
Connor. We have to discuss Connor.
Connor. Oh, yeah. Our favorite. I think he's both our favorites, though.
Connor is my favorite. I love the actor, first of all.
He's so happy all the time. And I think that goes a lot to show. I think the actor himself must be like that.
I think
because he's very happy.
Yeah, I really enjoy when Andrew Francis pops up in a TV show or a movie. But Connor was definitely my favorite. He does a lot of voice work. Let me back up and say about Andrew Francis. You're probably familiar with his voice if you have kids. He's on Ninjago and My Little Pony and things like that. A lot of My Little Pony, by the way. But he was in a bunch of different shows, too. Anyway, I just felt like they were so... He was, I think, even more than Bree, and even though he was next to last, I think he was your typical middle child.
Yes.
He was often overlooked. He was cut off. They were nasty to him for like he's trying to help Abby. Like he's in law school. He's about to take his bar.
Like they left him at the putt-putt golf place.
The father was awful to him. Like that car scene in I think the second or third episode where he's like, just go home. Like he doesn't want to listen to him. He's just completely dismissive of him. Abby's dismissive of him. The grandmother and Bree are constantly telling him, you know, to stop. Like, they don't, maybe it's because he comes off as happy as he's saying everything, but they just cut off everything he says. Obviously, it's a storyline. You know, we know that he's going to be, you know, they're all going to be redeemed and make up and maybe have a big fight. But he was definitely my favorite character. I felt he was the most real character.
Yeah, he was probably the most helpful character out of all of them.
Yeah. He was the most normal character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was honest about his feelings. I think as an actor, he showed his emotions better than the other ones. Like, you felt them.
Mm-hmm.
I think he just plays the part. I really can't wait to see his story. You know, his storyline grow. My friend that I speak to about it, you know, she said that he has one of the she really enjoyed his storyline, his character growth. So I'm looking forward to that. But he was definitely my favorite. Kind of, I guess, in the way he's the underdog and in it, and you always root for the underdog. You know, the underdog, right?
Yes, yes, I love him. He's probably one of my favorite characters. I'm really looking forward to seeing where he goes. And then let's see, we're going to. What was probably your favorite storyline?
So, there's so many storylines because there's so many people. Obviously, well, we haven't, you know, there's Abby, Trace, Wes, the kids, the little girls in the first season. They're adorable. They're,
mm-hmm.
The kids, the young ladies are such good little actresses. My favorite storyline.
I'll tell you what, I figure like the whole custody battle thing. Like, I know that they always make the ex-husband or the ex-boyfriend into not a very nice person, but this guy was a legitimate. Mm-hmm. I mean, he redeems himself towards the end of the season, but he legitimately dates a woman that is in her firm, financial firm. And then, you know, there's that whole thing about her, you know, Abby trying to block that merger they were trying to do. And then come to find out he loses his job. But instead of telling her he loses his job, he tries to convince her to take the kids out of private school and let him stay in Brooklyn with him without telling her that he's getting in trouble. And then, you know, the DOJ shows up at her office, you know, questioning her about insider trading, and she has no clue what's going on. And then he takes her to custody, you know, for the custody battle. Mm-hmm. And in the whole process, he knows he's lost his job because of insider trading, and he's being investigated by the DOJ, but he still takes her to court to try to get custody of the kids because he doesn't have any money to pay for the private school is what I was getting from it. He was not a good guy.
he wasn't a good guy at all. And it went darker in a sense than you really expected it to with the whole insider trading and such. And parts of it didn't make any sense. He was panicking, right? Like, what is he going to do? But how was he going to keep from his ex-wife that he was, you know, he was being investigated and that he was breaking up with whatever her name was, Gabrielle or whatever, and that she was completely insane because she was the one behind the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
Misunderstand something. Okay.
Yeah, she was behind it. That's what they found out toward, I think it was the second to the last episode when they were putt-putting is when Connor got it out of him and that it was all Gabriella.
Mm-hmm.
But still, like, he put Abby through the ringer. He could have given her a heads up about what was going on.
Quite a few pieces of it didn't make sense. And I think that fed into part of how Abby constantly mistreated Mike Dolman Connor, you know, over his advice and everything. Okay, you know, so he lost his job. He wanted, you know, so first, before you find it all out, you're like, okay, that's reasonable. Like, okay, he lost the job, he can't pay for the private school, you know, they should make some changes. She offers to pay for it, you know, he says no, and you feel bad, and it's realistic. There's people, adults out there, parents who just can't communicate with each other, you know, and everything escalates to a fiasco
that then Connor ends up getting him out of, which I think was great.
Yeah.
Dude hasn't even gotten his bar, you know, results yet, and he's already, you know, arranging this whole thing.
Yeah, a bit of redemption for Connor, too, because they, you know, like we said, they kept kind of, like, blowing him off, like, you know, he was some child that really didn't, you know anything.
And he swoops in and saves the day.
Exactly. You know, Wes, from everything, I did read, everybody hated Wes. So I actually expected his storyline to be much worse. You know, like, I expect him to be like this violent guy or something. And I'm by no means excusing what the character did, but let's, you know, remember, people, it is a character. And that does happen in real life, of course. But I mean, you can't redeem him. You can't make excuses for him, you know, but there's so many little pieces of it, like, that didn't, was he panicking? You know, is that why he didn't make any sense? Like, okay, I'm going to bring her to court and, you know, she's never going to find out that this is happening.
And the funny thing is, like, she really doesn't even when she questions him and asks him, well, hey, the DOJ showed up at my office asking me questions, you know, they're taking my files, what's going on? He still doesn't really explain what's going on. It's like.
Right. So was it like you trying to set her up? You know?
Yeah.
Was he framing her, and is that why he wanted the kids so that he could play into the oh, you know, well, she's being investigated, she, you know, she did this, and in another type of storyline that might have been actually a, you know, really good plot. He sets up the whole thing to bring down his ex-wife. There you go. There's a whole new show for you. The West thing was a really good storyline though, and I think everybody acted in it fairly well. And of course at the end when Connor kind of gets them out of the mess and Wes realizes he's never going to work in that industry again, I was actually kind of surprised that they had him say he was going to move closer to Chesapeake Shores,
I think they said he was going to move to Baltimore. I'm not sure, but I think that's what said. And then, of course, you've got Trace and Abby.
So this is hard because we know what happens.
Yeah, he leaves.
We know what happens. He leaves. I don't know why he leaves. I refuse to look up to see. I mean, I know why the actor left. I don't know how the
cat. Why did the actor leave? Because I was just wondering. I've not looked it up.
So what I read was that there was obviously a break between filming with Corona and other issues and whatnot. And he says in an interview, he speaks very highly of everybody, very nicely of everybody. He loves the cast. He loves the show. Partly it was time. It was time for him to move on, but there were some creative differences. The sense I get is that, you know, spoiler alert, if anybody out there like this that hasn't watched this show, I guess this is typical of any show. I'm not dragging Hallmark because obviously, you know, we love Hallmark. It's back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And you have to, you know, you get into 5 years and there's no, like, you're not marrying them off or, you know, anything like that. I think there was some creative differences. And this is the fifth season and they're on their third showrunner, he said. And I think that was a little difficult. And he said that even before everything shut down, he sat down and had a conversation with the new showrunner and people. I'm not dragging the showrunner. I know Jack about anything to do with producing a show, you know. He just felt like there wasn't any communication. He didn't have any even input into how they wrote him out. But he was pretty much kind of over the sense of direction they were taking with the character. And he felt that based on what they were doing, he took the character as far as he could. He didn't say that, you know, Trace will never, ever be back for some any other type of closure or whatnot, but that his time on the show after everything was done.
Well, I hope he still does the occasional movie because he's probably one of my favorites.
Yeah, I hope Hallmark doesn't turn around and be like, oh well, you know, you left the show, bye. But I don't think he's unhappy with Hallmark as a whole. I think it was just the direction that they were taking the character. I mean, we've all watched all these shows where you've had these on again, off again relationships. Bones. I was a huge fan of Bones. That took them how long? And then they broke them up and got them back together and broke them up and got them back together. I can't tell you how many. Going back to my childhood, Scarecrow and Mrs. King. How long did it take them to get together? Who's the Boss? Still don't even know if they were ever together. You know,
The Nanny.
The Nanny took, oh gosh, I've been rewatching that, hysterical. So many shows, older ones, new ones. I mean, pretty much everything on the CW is a Arrow, right? The two of them, Flash, even the superhero shows, everything forever. And then they're always dragged apart. Obviously, once you get them together, you need something to keep them interesting. You don't want the show just to end unless that was the natural, you know, ending point of the show. But sometimes they drag them out, you know, to no end. And I think from what I'm reading, and again, I didn't read too much, because like I said, we know what happens. He leaves. So we know that they're not going to be together forever. We're going to get
that. And I think maybe that might be, like, I've watched this show before, and the first time I watched it was several, I think it was like before the third or fourth season came out. I really was into the Trace and Abby storyline, but this time when I was going through it, I struggled. I like the storyline of them together, the you know, them being together, you know, when they were younger and then things happening and then them reconnecting. But that's not even like really my favorite. It didn't really fit into the one of my, you know, favorite things about the show.
Right. And that could be, he left. Right.
Yeah.
We know that, like, if there's a wedding coming up, but it's, spoiler alert, Bree and David, right? I think.
It's Jess. It's Jess and somebody. It might be the guy that she hired for the, to do the, but I could be wrong because I've been like you. I haven't really tried to watch too much of the.
I've never watched the show before until you had the idea. That would just, you know, like I said, been burned. I loved
beautiful. Like I said, I loved One Fourth Lot, you know. Now who's getting, now I have to know who's getting married. I'm trying to look it up real quick.
It's Jess and somebody. I think it's the guy she hired, the David guy that she hired for the, to be the cook. The whole little love triangle that Bree and Jess had with David. And I think Jess is marrying David.
Wait, so Jess ends up with David, not Bree? I thought Bree ended up with him.
I thought no, I'm pretty sure I think David ends up with Jess.
So he starts dating. So he breaks up with Jess in season one. She dumps him right before she hires him, right?
Right.
And it says that the sister, you know, that he and the sister have...
I might be completely wrong.
I'm looking it up right now so we don't sound like complete wrong.
I don't sound like a complete idiot because I don't know.
We don't know. I'll bear with us. So she is, oh, actually, she's the third child. So Kevin's the second. Yeah, Kevin.
Kevin's younger than Connor?
It's Abby, Kevin, Bree, Connor, Jeff.
Oh. Okay, well, we were close.
Yeah, we were close.
I love the grandma, too. I hope she stays. I don't.
What's with her accent? I love
She's
her.
Irish. The whole family's Irish.
No, well, thank you, Amber. I don't mean to be sarcastic, but I know that. The name is O'Brien.
Oh, okay. Her... Oh, I'm sorry.
Her accent comes and goes.
Yeah, it's... I don't know if the actress herself has that accent or if... maybe it's like one of those things once people come over from like another country. They start slowly losing the accent because my mom's best friend married an Australian. And the longer he was over here, the more he lost it. But sometimes you could still catch things when it came out. Like, you would hear it. But it kind of washed out after a while.
Okay, so we're both completely stupid. It's Kevin who gets married to somebody else. To another, well, obviously, to a character I don't know yet.
I swear I thought that the episodes coming up had Jess marrying somebody, but I guess I was wrong.
Unless there's another wedding. Fill us in, people. We don't know.
We don't know.
I'm going to have to hit up my friend on Twitter and ask her if she's listening. She knows what we're talking about. It's because it says it's been 2 months and 3 weeks. Spoiler. Since Kevin and Sarah got married, to give you an idea how long it's been in story on Chesapeake Shores, and with Trace already gone by this point, just through flashbacks that we see what happened after his and Abby's.
Okay, Jess is marrying David, and they're currently planning the wedding in the show.
So, Jess, I'm going to hate this show. I'm really going to hate this show, Molly and I. Are you serious? So she ends up with David after all?
She ends up with David after all. Well, they aren't, I don't think they're married yet on the show. I think they haven't showed that part yet. But yeah, she's getting married to David. So then I don't know what happens to the whole Bree situation, because that's kind of awkward.
Yeah.
Like that love triangle, that whole storyline, I could have done without.
It's so teen drama.
Yeah.
I know we sound
like Vampire Diaries.
We're listening, right? If we have listeners, thank you so much. I don't mean to sound harsh, but I'm 45, okay? Kind of over these love triangles on something. I grew up on soap operas. Nobody did. I grew up on As the World Turns. And The Bold and the Beautiful, and The Young and the Restless. Yeah, nobody does a love triangle like a soap opera.
No, but nobody does.
If you're squeaking in the background, that's my dog. It's almost so high school, in a way. You know what I mean? Like it was something really adult about it. Yeah, Jess and David are engaged. Okay, well, I guess season two is going to be interesting. I give up.
This after she was dating him and then...
broke up, so the sister could date him. I guess we're going to find out.
And then hires him.
I guess we're going to find out. So, I mean, there's a lot of subplots. There's the love triangle. Jess hires Kevin, breaks up with him, then hires him to cook, even though she can't pay for him. There's this whole thing with the parents, the grandmother's back and forth with the doctor. Is she hiding something, you know, that's going on? Don't tell me, you know, if the character passes away in the next seasons, you know.
Not, because she's like one of my favorite people. I like the grandma.
You know, I think Wes pops up here and there. Obviously, he's the girl's father. They're going to bring him back now and again. I only know that from, like, looking at something on IMDb and seeing, like, the character listed in different episodes of the season. Kevin is supposed to marry, Georgia. He sends her packing. He's, you know, recovering. I'm interested to see what Kevin does after leaving the military and how far they go into PTSD now that the family has two adult children with PTSD like symptoms, which is extremely, extremely serious. Never joke about it.
I feel for anybody dealing with that, but I really like the whole storyline of him, you know, being in the military and, you know, then him disappearing and they couldn't find him, you know, and in the middle of all that, they're dealing with the custody battle with the kids.
Here's my thing. And I know we interrupt, and I'll work on that, so I apologize. But here's my thing about Kevin being injured and whatnot. Correct me if I'm wrong, because I'll admit that I watched some of this while extremely distracted with my 7-year-old niece and other responsibilities, so I apologize. Kevin was injured and disappeared in Afghanistan?
I think so, yes.
How the heck did they get him home so quickly? It doesn't happen that way.
No, it doesn't really happen that quick. Especially as injured as he was,
and he came off the ambulance looking like they just dragged him out of the field, you know, like they just found him. I mean, not that bad, but
I mean, I don't have a whole lot of people in the military in my family. My cousin on my dad's side, he was in the military. He was in Afghanistan and in the other one. I can't remember what it was called. There's a period of time where you're not even allowed, injured or not, you're not even allowed to speak to anybody when you come back.
Yeah, especially the hints at what they were having him, you know, do or whatever he was involved in. That for me is just like, I don't know. Let me say this. I give it an 8 out of 10. I give it an 8 out of 10 because, not that we even said we were going to rate it, but I'm just throwing that out there because we know what happens with Abby and Trace. So I loved the custody battle storyline. I do think it was very well done. I do think they threw some things in there that kept it fresh. And kept it different, but the one of the biggest things, not just with Hallmark but with most shows, there's some things that are like common sense. Let's try to have it like a little bit realistic, you know. Most people, you're gonna, you know, you watch shows, war movies, military shows or whatnot, nobody comes home like that.
Mm-mm.
You know,
not that they, quickly
not that quickly. So for me, I think that kind of was like, took me out of it a tiny bit, but I love Kevin. I love Brendan Penny. How do you not? I love his movies. They're always delightful. He's always so good in them. But that was a little bit like, maybe because I do read a lot of like different things like that. I do watch a lot of like shows of people who have like military backgrounds and things like that. That was just a little weird for me, but it's a very good storyline. I'm interested in seeing, like, and now knowing that he gets married, I'm interested in seeing his story. I'm interested in seeing Connor's story. I mean, the great thing is that it is an awesome ensemble. Everybody is very good. My disinterest in some of the characters doesn't have anything to do with the actors or actresses. It's just that I'm not interested at the moment in their storyline. That could change, you know. We'll see what happens with Kevin. I really hope they don't have Bree date him and then he goes back with Jeff. I hate that.
Yeah, I hate it when they do that too. Yeah, so, I think they just need to like not let a whole lot of happen between Bree and David before Jess and him get back together.
Although I think recently there was a Hallmark movie, wasn't there? I have to look up the name where she ended up with the brother, the guy she was going to marry. I have to look that one up. Could have been Lifetime. I can't know how much you watch things.
I'm hoping that Connor gets a love interest. Because, you know, he's one of my favorite, he's probably one of my favorite characters. I hope they give him a love interest soon. I mean, he had that one girl that he took the bar with, but, you know.
Yeah, I think, yeah, and they said he was interested in her. My friend did say that he has some really great character development, so I'm hoping we'll see. So, okay, so before we, so what I gave it the first season 8 out of 10. You know, we didn't even like really, I know it sounds weird that we're really not delving into Trace and Abby, but knowing what happens, you know, yeah. Like, I'm sure we'll talk about them more in the next episode, but there's so many people and there's so many storylines, and just knowing what the outcome of that one is, unfortunately, because it's all over Hallmark, you know, that he left the show, it's easier not to invest in that one.
I think so, yeah.
Either you like be like, okay, for us watching it at this point, they're not the main characters. Everybody else is. Like, I'm secretly like, oh, do the parents get back together? I don't, as much as spoilers, I don't care. You know, like, other few things I've read, they don't bother me. It's not going to ruin what I know. I was just Googling stuff as we, you know, spoke. Like, oh, the parents going to, like, get back together? They're going to have a little fling? The kid's going to freak out? That's what I want to know. That's
yeah, what I, really.
That's what I want to,
This is a quick couple of things that I noticed, like, from the pilot to, like, the second episode, which your pilot was, I think, 2 episodes long, really. It was, like, an hour and 45-minute show. Did you notice the house completely changed?
Yeah. Which house did you like better?
I like the house that they have now. It's more of a lake house. The first one, it was more like a, it was almost like a, I don't even really know, more Mediterranean, I guess, because it had the stairs and the columns and stuff like that, which there's nothing wrong with. I like that too, but I feel like for Chesapeake Shores, the house they're in now is much better suited for definitely. The show. And then I only noticed this because I have a golden retriever and they are by far my favorite dogs, but they changed Axel and it bothered me. He was a golden retriever in the first pilot episode, and then they changed him to a German Shepherd. Not that there's anything wrong with German Shepherds. I love them, too. But I was really upset that they took the golden away.
It's crazy. About the dog. I was confused. But I'm really glad you pointed that out. I'm like, is that the same dog? And then I just thought I didn't pay enough attention.
Oh, no. I looked it up because I was like, that's a different dog. But I'm like one of those people that I notice I'm a huge animal lover. I've got 4 dogs. I love them to death. So you'll probably hear them bark in the background every once in a while during these recordings. But that's the first thing I notice is animals. And like, you know, if they anything happens to an animal in a show, I immediately just tears streaming. Not that I don't get affected when stuff happens to people, but for some reason, you know, the dogs just, that's one of the major things. I always look at the animals in the shows, and I was really upset because they changed it. Changing. Yeah. And then I think Stella at Live Like Music 5 on our, on Twitter, she pointed out, which I didn't even realize, that Brandon Perry and Andrew Francis, which plays Kevin and Connor, were not even in the pilot episode.
Yeah.
And they weren't, and I think she even said that they weren't even, like, listed as the actors until the second episode.
Yeah. I was glad she pointed that out as well, because I went back and looked. I was like, oh, that's curious. I don't know why they did that. And it's funny you mentioned Stella, because she's the one that I keep referring to throughout, like, I have to talk to my friend with it. That's who I'm talking about. I have some great conversations about Hallmark with her. We like a lot of the same people, but a lot of different people as well. And she's actually the one who gave me the idea to make the Instagram. So thank you very much, Stella. I'm going to be getting that this weekend once I get our logo fixed up.
Yeah, she was tweeting and giving some really good information. I wanted to write down about that because I was like, I didn't even realize it.
Said to her, like, oh, you could be our social media manager. She's like, no. It's like, all right. I wouldn't be good at that. She's a sweetheart. She's a doll. So what do you rate it first season?
I would say I'm going to go a little higher than you and say 9 out of 10.
I'm a cold-hearted person, so I think that's why I went the 8. Also, I've been watching a ton of Bollywood movies, right? And the chemistry between these actors and actresses is so intense that now when I watch anything else, I feel just a tiny bit let down. Even though it's amazing. These actors and actresses all worked amazingly well together. They really did. You did.
I haven't watched a whole lot of the Bollywood movies, but the ones that I have watched, I've really liked. So I don't know why I don't watch more of them.
Well, that's a whole other podcast. Greg will kill us.
Yeah. Yes, very much so.
And Jason would be like, don't get her started on anything else. But so yeah, they're so intense, and I'm not knocking these guys because the chemistry is there. But I think I'm gonna stick with my 8. I think it's fair, but I am very, very much looking forward to season 2. I want it especially with Connor, the grandmother, and Kevin.
Yeah, and there's the whole mystery of the ring too. The ring that she found that Trace found underneath the floorboards of the church, and then, you know, Abby gives it to the grandma, but the grandma knows, you know, that was her ring. But I don't think the grandpa, father gave it to her. I think it must have came from whoever she went to visit in Ireland.
Grandma was stepping out. Right.
Yeah.
I'm awful. Any final thoughts about the show, or anything else you're looking forward to that's coming up? Oh, there was one.
Just looking forward to Connor's storyline and, you know, getting deeper into the characters.
Just one. I'm so sorry, people. There was one. Oh, please. I hope I took a picture of it. There was one. People are getting very excited. This is not about Chesapeake Shores. I'm jumping a little bit. About Janelle Parrish and Ryan Pavey being announced for a Christmas movie coming to Hallmark. Did you hear about that?
No, I did not.
Twitter is very, very happy. They're thrilled that they're going to be starring in Coyote Creek Christmas.
Sounds
like another outdoorsy one, though.
Yes, very outdoorsy.
A little Native American thrown in there with the Coyote Creek. I don't know.
Maybe, because it does.
Are you familiar with either of them?
No, I'm not familiar with. I don't think either of those actors.
So looking at them, I am, but with their names, I have to look them up. So we will look them up, and we'll let you know next week if we know them from anything.
Yeah, I'm excited for, you know, fall harvest coming up, and then, you know, what happens after that?
Under Christmas. I can't wait for the list to come out.
And now I have somebody to talk to it about.
These people will hopefully listen to us talk about it.
They listen to us. Just keep in mind, we are, you know, this is the first time Liz has done it primary and as, you know, the main host, and I've never done a podcast. This is my first one. So
this is just us kind of having a little bit of fun. Oh, Janelle is on Pretty Little Liars, so that's why people are going crazy.
Okay, yes, I know. She played Mona. Isn't that who that is?
I didn't watch the show. I heard great things about it. People love it.
What's her name?
Janelle Parrish. She was yes.
She played Mona, and she was in that movie that I was telling you about last year on Hallmark Movies and Mysteries. She was kind of she didn't really have any family, and she moves into a house, and the next door neighbor has 2 kids.
Yeah. Yes.
And I bawled like crazy at that movie. And I didn't have any idea that she was as good an actress as she was, because she played a really interesting character on Pretty Little Liars, but, you know, it was kind of teeny, you know, high schoolish. The, you know, storylines are kind of.
So this is how horrible we are. Maybe we shouldn't even be doing this podcast, because Ryan's been in like 10,000 of them. He was Donovan Darcy in Marrying Mr. Darcy. And
what's his name? Ryan
Pavey. And he was in Christmas at the Plaza. Listen, I'm very bad with names, people. Most days I don't even know my name. Christmas at the Plaza, which was a really good one.
Oh, yes. I looking at his picture now, like, yeah, I remember him very much.
He's really a looking cutie. Forward to seeing these two together, because I've liked all of his. And I'm not gonna lie, I'm not very familiar with her. I did see her in that one, so I think the two of them, if social media is correct, it's gonna be top notch.
Yeah, my major thing is gonna be trying to. I can pick an actor or an actress out if I see them, and tell you almost everything they've been in. But to know their names, I'm just starting to get.
Right, we'll work on that.
Work on it. We promise. We'll be better.
Promise we'll work on it. Like, it's a work in progress. But there are, just like in this cast, so many of them, and some of them do look. But that'll be the help of social media as well. Once we get the Instagram and probably the Twitter up and running, so we'll learn as we go. There's so many Hallmark podcasts out there, and we truly, truly appreciate if you're giving us your time and listening to us. And we know there's better and polished, you know, podcasts out there. But yeah, this is for the not casual fan. We're more than casual fans, but this is just for the everyday person who just wants to chit chat about and have a little fun. And we hope
that you enjoy. Continue listening.
Yes, exactly. You know, hope you have a little bit of fun with us. We want you to interact with us. So, any other final words?
I think I'm good. I think I've gotten everything said that we were going to do, and I don't have anything else.
So I said this on my Facebook, but if you see this posted somewhere, let us know what your favorite scene was from scene or storyline from season one is, and even season two. I don't mind spoilers. I don't know about Amber. Let us know out of season one and season two which season you like best, and I will post that as well when this is up. So again, I'm Liz Puglisi. You can find me on Twitter at LizzyP224. My amazing and fun and so glad we're friends, Amber Teasley. This is Home Is Where Hallmark Is, the Chair Shot Radio, which you can find at thechairshot.com. Amber, where are you on social media?
I'm on Twitter at ateasley1, and my Instagram is amarkham1981.
My Insta and Twitter are the same thing, LizzyP224. So that's it for us for this week. Next week, we'll be back with a review of the two movies that are on this weekend. So excited. Our first two top tens and whatever other craziness we can think to tell you. We're more than happy to take ideas for things you want us to talk about. Send us some feedback, and we will talk to you again soon. Have a great evening, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.